Yeah, I said to James we should just say it from the front and then we have to do it. So now we have to do a conference in March. Yeah, sometimes when you're trying to explain things to your children, it's kind of complicated. They're asking who's getting baptized. I said, Robin. They said, who's Robin? I said, Robin with the dog. And they said, oh, is the dog getting baptized too? I said, well, no, just Robin. But it's wonderful to see God working in the midst of his church, in the midst of his people. And let's get started. If you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Once I get this set up. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and then we're going to get started. And this is one of those messages that I've been reading all week, and there's been loads of stuff in here, and loads of stuff in my mind that's then changed my heart, which has then definitely convicted me, and then just the challenge of trying to get this into something that's applicable for each and every one of us has been a real challenge, but at the same time, it's really helped me just to clarify some of the theological things we're going to speak of this morning and to make them simple enough for me, for you, to actually apply them into our lives that we can be changed as well. So that's my desire, that we would not just hear about a theological doctrine of sanctification this morning, but we'd actually learn from it and be growing in it in our lives as well. Last Sunday, Pastor James brought us a message all about worship. And for me, as I'm sure for many of you, it was a change of perspective. It was looking at worship from a different angle, a clarification that worship's not just the time on a Sunday morning where we gather and we sing songs, but actually worship can have a new focus, a focus of surrender, a focus of service. And really, we talked about how worship itself is not just what we do here on a Sunday or on a Wednesday or when we meet up with other believers in the week. It's actually about our entire lives. It's a complete lifestyle. And this morning, really, we're just adding on something to that lifestyle, because this lifestyle of worship we're called to is also a lifestyle of sanctification. Now, that's a word you've not heard before. As we go through this morning's message, you'll have a broader picture of what it is. But it's something that we all are involved in, or at least should be involved in. Sanctification is a process of change. It's a process of transformation. It's something that you should be interested in. It's something that I should be interested in. It's something that we should be very much invested in, because all of us should be involved in this process. Now, going back a couple of weeks, traditionally, at the start of a new year, everyone makes goals, targets, and resolutions. They set things up for themselves to basically fail within the first month or so of the new year. Who made a New Year's resolution? Hands up if you still kept that New Year's resolution. Oh, about 50% down already. But people make resolutions, and I was thinking about this question, why? Why do people always constantly set themselves goals and targets and things to do? And really, it's because everyone wants to be better. That's why people make changes, because they want to be better. They want to look better. They want to feel better. And they want to do better, whatever that means. Maybe it's through losing weight. Maybe it's through eating healthily, starting a new diet, joining the gym, quitting the gym, whatever it might be. I looked up the top 10 New Year's resolutions of 2023 into 2024. And all of them were focused on one thing: self. All of it was focused on self. None of it was focused on the internal. It was all focused on the external. Basically, it was about people wanting to look better to the people that they surround themselves with. All this idea of self-help, self-improvement, self-development. And as I was considering this, it's a sad reflection of a self-focused society. It's a sad reflection of a self-focused society. And sadly, quite often, I believe this attitude creeps into the church, This attitude creeps into the Christian life and negatively impacts and negatively affects our outlook, where suddenly for the Christian, change is all about me and what I can do. For instance, in our lives, we identify an issue, and that could be our spiritual life. It could be our personal character. And we immediately look for a quick fix. We look to the bookshelf. We look to the Amazon list of top sales for the Christian books to identify the issue we have and how we can fix it. We look online at podcasts and sermons that match up to the topic. We go on courses. We watch YouTube videos. We do all that we can to quickly and immediately fix the problem. But the issue is, that means that we as the Christian, the churchgoer, are becoming the problem solver. We're trying to do it all. We're trying to be the ones that are causing the improvements in our lives. And really, all we're after, if we're being honest, is moral improvement and character development. I want to start off this morning by saying that that is not sanctification. That is not what we are talking about this morning. Because this idea of us solving the problems, of improving our character and our morals, that is nothing about our heart. That is nothing about our transformation, which is what the Bible speaks of. So our journey of sanctification begins with this. It begins with us recognizing that we have a fault. It begins with us admitting that we need help. And in that moment, we recognize our need. We do not go to ourselves, but we go to God. Because if we're being honest, and I want to be honest this morning, and I want you to be honest with yourselves, we need rescuing from ourselves. That's what life is all about, is us being rescued from us. You see, as Christians, we are saved by grace. Grace is this free gift that God has blessed us with through the Son, Jesus Christ, that we can have a relationship with God in heaven. That's our salvation. We are saved by grace. But we all need God's sanctifying grace to continue working in us so that we are constantly being challenged and changed into the image and likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So this message this morning could have been called lots of things, but it's called God's Sanctifying Grace. And we're going to look at a couple of verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and then we're going to pray. So I'm going to read from verse 9 where it says, "Do you not know?" Do you not know? Meaning you probably should know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is real, living, powerful. And God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us this morning about being more like the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We look at this short passage here, and Paul is writing to imperfect people in an imperfect church, which sadly sounds like all of us, imperfect people in an imperfect church, but not sadly, because God wants to do a work in his church. And this passage initially highlights to us the lost. It talks about the lifeless. It talks about the aimless. It talks about those who are still walking in darkness and those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. In our Christian language, Paul is talking about those who are not yet born again. And Paul then says to the church and to us really this morning as well, this was you. You are in this category. You are one of those who are not inheriting the kingdom of God. This was your life before you met Jesus. This was your life before you encountered the risen Savior. Now, if we consider sanctification is a lifelong journey. Now, every journey has a beginning. Every journey has a beginning. And if we think about the beginning of our journey, we first must get onto the right path. We first must recognize that we need a savior. That we in ourselves cannot save ourselves. We need an external savior who we know is Jesus. And as we recognize our need of a savior, we recognize that our names should very much be on this list between verses 9 and 10. We recognize that we need to repent of our sins, of our brokenness, and we need to turn to God. We need to surrender to God. We need to put our trust, faith, hope in Jesus, and then commit to a life of service. What I like about verse 11, it highlights that this was only possible through Jesus. This was only possible by the blood of Christ spilt upon the cross. If we look in verse 11, what's the key word in verse 11? Were. We were some of these people, but God. We were, but God. And so we are saved by grace. But we are saved by grace into a life where the work of grace continues. Salvation is not the end of the journey. Salvation is very much the beginning of the journey. Notice the first thing in this process of sanctification is that we must be born again of the Spirit. Consider this. When a baby is born, and that baby, that child, is full of potential, full of unknown as of yet opportunity, full of a future, full of hope, full of expectation, and yet none of that has yet been reached. Why? Because the baby is a baby. The baby hasn't grown, the baby hasn't developed its own personality, its own character, has its own desires and wishes. It's a baby. Now consider relating that to being born again. The new Christian, when they are born again, is full of potential, full of opportunity, excitement, life. But all of it is not yet reached. Why? Because the Christian has not yet grown, has not yet developed, and has not yet matured. And so sanctification is this ongoing process of change. Change for what? For what purpose? To a different way of living. And so the newborn Christian must go through this process of change and development and maturity. And what God is after in each and every one of us is this internal change that's then going to lead to external fruit. And fruit is not for the tree, it's for others. It's to bless those around us. And so what does the Bible then say about the believer and this process of sanctification? Well, if you read a lot of the letters from Paul, how does he describe the Christian? He describes them as saints. So you sat here this morning, if you put your trust in Jesus, you are a saint. Who feels like a saint this morning? Who's felt like a saint all week? There we go. Just because you don't feel like a saint doesn't mean you're not a saint. How do I know you're a saint? Because the Bible tells me so. What it means to be a saint is this. It means we are called out and set apart for a life of holiness and purity. And that's why it's okay for you to feel out of place in this world. Because we are, as Christians, the Bible says, a peculiar people. We are those who are going and living this life to the beat of a different drum. We are going against the tide. All the analogies and pictures you can think of, but we are different. Why? Because God has called us out and set us apart to be different. And as saints, when we surrender to a life of sanctification, what we're doing is this. We are dedicating ourselves to a life of separation and devotion to the service of God. That's what sanctification is all about. It's about being dedicated to a life of separation, meaning we're different, and devotion to the service of God. And two passages in the New Testament which so often come to my mind when I consider this topic are as follows. The first one is when John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, he's talking about this man, his cousin, this one who he pointed at and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He said of this man, Jesus, "He must increase and I must decrease." Now, if we consider that, he must increase, that means that Jesus grows. I must decrease, I shrink. So if Jesus is growing in our lives and we are shrinking, who's on display to the world? Jesus. And this is what it's all about. It's about the world seeing Jesus and not Andy. It's about the world seeing Jesus and not you. The second passage is this. Peter, quoting from Leviticus, says, "Be holy because I am holy." Who's holy? God. Our life ambition should be to be holy. And we'll look at that later on. But we are called to be holy because he is holy. And so considering this, and considering the church and the broader church, why is so much of the church complacent, unmoving, and never seemingly changing? Why are there so many sleeping Christians who just happen to be the same year upon year, with no progress, with no spiritual growth, with no Jesus increasing and them decreasing? And that's a really big question. And there are lots of different answers and lots of different reasons. But I want to start by saying this. God has a desire that you would grow. God has a desire that you would grow. He has a desire that you would be changed. He has a desire that you would be changed and transformed and receive all that he has for you. Do you believe that this morning? That God has more for you and wants more for you. But I hear perhaps some of us saying, or I see in churches around me and lives of Christians around me, "I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I've been baptized. I attend church. Sometimes I go to the Bible study. I even give. I serve. Andy, is that not enough? Am I not done? Can I just sit back and relax because I've got my ticket and I'm sorted?" I think some people have that attitude, that they are just done in their Christian faith. They've come into the church. They say, "Yes, I believe the Bible. Yes, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. I've been baptized. I'm just going to get on with my life now. I'm just going to do what I want when I want." But I want to say this about God. God is a loving Father. If you are a parent, what do you want for your children? Everything. Everything you could possibly give them, you want for them. You want the best. And you won't be satisfied with anything less than the best for your children. You invest in them. You pour yourself out into them. Why? Because you love them. God is the perfect Father. The loving Father. He wants what is best for you. When he looks down upon those who are satisfied with their lives, I think he's dissatisfied because he has more for them. God has more for us if we just take him at his word. And that's what Jesus says. He says, "If you love me, you'll do what I say." Jesus is basically saying, if you love me, take my word seriously. Take it seriously. And so if you take God's word seriously, this is what Paul says. Paul says this, "This is the will of God for your life, your sanctification." That's what God wants for you. The will of God, or the desire of God, is your holiness. So ask yourself the question, how seriously are you taking God's word? How seriously are you taking this part of scripture that says God's desire for your life is that you yourself would be holy? You see, God wants you to grow. He wants us to grow. But the problem is this. You, me, we are the problem. We are the ones who more often than not stunt the growth that God has for us. We get in the way and we limit God. How? By not worshiping him correctly. By allowing other things into our lives that become our idols. For example, the biggest idol that gets in the way of our growth is self. The idol of self. You worshiping you. You making yourself the king of all things, the God of all things in your life. If we worship the idol of self, what we are doing is this. We are making ourselves unwilling to surrender to God. We are making our lives all about me. My successes, my achievements, my contentment, my satisfaction. We are far too inwardly focused. And if we are so inwardly focused, what we are not doing is allowing the Spirit of God and the Word of God to move in our lives. When we worship the idol of self, our hearts become hardened toward God. When we worship the idol of self, our hearts become stubborn because we think we are the answer to all of our problems. And like making New Year's resolutions and New Year's goals, we're all about self-help and self-improvement. And we become selfish. The second idol that comes in and gets in the way of our lives as we are seeking to grow is this, the idol of comfort. Who's ever succumbed to the idol of comfort before? Where all we do is relax back into a comfortable way of life, where we come to church, everything's done for us, we go home, and we get on for the rest of our life until it's the next time to come to church. A comfortable life is a life where we don't seek or desire change. If you remember what James said last Sunday, comfortable Christianity requires no sacrifice. It's really quite straightforward, except for the fact that it's not biblical Christianity. The comfortable Christian life is not the normal Christian life. And so if we consider these idols of self and of comfort, if they have any part in your life, what you need to do is you need to put them to death. They need removing and replacing. These idols of self where we're building up ourselves far too much, this idol of comfort where we're all about just a relaxed way of living, need to be replaced with a genuine worship of God. You see, if we are to progress, we need to destroy any other idols in our lives so that we can put our focus solely upon God. Because there's no such thing as passive Christianity. We cannot just sit back and let it happen. We are to be involved. What did Jesus say to his disciples? He said, if you desire me, you have to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow. If you're picking up your cross, what is it you're effectively picking up? You're picking up a tool that is meant to kill. Who's it killing? It's killing the self-life. It's killing our desires, our hopes, and our dreams. But it's not, they're not dying, we're just giving them to Jesus. And he will change our hearts. So a good question, and hopefully we get a good answer. Do you want to be more like Jesus? Do you want to be more like him? Live your life more like him? Well, if you do, then sanctification is a necessary, a vital part of Christian living. Without this process, you can't be more like Jesus. So we're born again, but what happens next? Where do we begin? Well, we must begin first and foremost with a holy God. A holy God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and who is to come. Holy, holy, holy. Consider the holiness of God. Really, really consider the holiness of God. the complete separation. We're called out to be holy, but he is holy. When people came into the very presence of God and experienced his holiness, they fell down as though they were dead. As Moses was standing there at the burning bush, he took off his sandals because he was on holy ground. When we consider the holiness of God, it's not just a part of who he is. It's not a part of his character. God is holy in his essence. That means that his love is holy. His goodness is holy. His grace, his mercy are holy. His justice and judgment are holy because he is holy. And this holy God chose to make man in his image. And this holy God chose a people, separated out Abraham and his descendants. We read in Deuteronomy 7:6, this, for you are a holy people who belong to the Lord your God. Of all the people on earth, the Lord your God has chosen you to be his own special treasure. God's people, the law, the temple, the priesthood, the sacrificial system, even down to the tools in the temple, all revolved around the holiness of God and the holiness of God's people, making them a people who were to be separate. And then this holy God chose to send his only Son to earth that we might behold his glory. And this holy God looked to bring sinful man back into a relationship with himself. This holy God. If you want one tip on how you can be sanctified, it's this. Get to know Jesus. Get to know God, the very character of God, the very nature of God. Get to know Jesus and his sacrifice and his love and his compassion. And as you saturate yourself in Jesus, as you saturate yourself in God, you will be changed. You will be transformed. So get to know him. Get to know God. Get to know the holiness of God as you're there washing up, as you're there doing the laundry in the house, as you're taking the kids to school, as you're going on the way to work, as you're walking the dog, as you're exercising. Consider the holiness of God and who we are in relation to his holiness. And that will bring us a place where we recognize that we need him, because we are nowhere near the level we are supposed to be. But from Old Testament to New Testament, through Jesus, through the promise of the Holy Spirit, it all gets more personal. It goes from a people, Israel, the nation, and it goes to the person through the new covenant. Paul writing to the church in Corinth, he says this, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Have you not got it yet that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? He lives in you. He was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. What was the price? The life of Jesus. So you must honor God with your body, with your mind, with your eyes, with your ears, with your actions. You must honor God. See, each and every one of us, if we've given our lives into service for Jesus, we face this journey, this process of sanctifying grace, of God working in us, where we're changed by moment, by moment, by moment, into the image of the Savior. So the standard is God, his holiness. That's what we are working towards, because we are to be holy as he is holy. And I was considering this, and it sounds like hard work. It sounds like the expectations here are huge. And maybe you're here thinking, well, I'm not good enough. I am not worthy. I can never be like Christ. I'm never going to reach this position of being a saint, of being called out, of being separate. And maybe you face this pressure internally from yourself, and maybe you face this pressure externally as you look around the church and you see other people doing better. You see other people progressing in their spiritual life, progressing in their knowledge of God, and you think, I just can't get there. So again, time for an honest question for yourself. Who finds it hard to be more like Jesus? We all do. When we see the standard, it's hard for us to work towards it. It's like my year 11 kids at the moment. They've got their exams coming up and they have their expected grades, their target grades, and it puts so much pressure upon them. And God doesn't want us to put that pressure upon ourselves. Because if we do, actually, we start to make it all about ourselves again and what we can do to achieve the expectations that God has before us. Jesus says this, he reminds us that in this process, we are not alone. He's there speaking to his disciples in the upper room, and he says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. I think it's such an important point to make for all of us this morning, especially those of us who feel the pressure of being holy. Sanctification is a work of God. Sanctification is a work of God. It's not about our human effort. It's not about our endeavors, our achievements, our successes. Being Christ-like, consider who Christ is, he's God. Being Christ-like is not a natural work. It's a work that is supernatural because it is of God. And what I would like to say to you this morning is this: take that burden off of yourself. Remove that pressure and simply allow God to work in your lives. Because if we are setting ourselves these expectations of being holy and pure and righteous all the time, it becomes exhausting. Who's ever tried to do that on their own strength? Who's ever crashed and burned? Because we're doing it in our strength and we're relying upon ourselves instead of recognizing this is a work of God. And yet it does require of us something. It requires our complete and utter surrender to God. To God, the Holy Spirit, the work of his Spirit in our lives. I love that picture that James gave recently of the ambulance coming down the busy road. And what do the cars do? They move to the side to allow the ambulance down the middle. That's what we need to do in our lives for the work of the Holy Spirit. Get out of the way and let God work. We need to come under the authority of the Word of God, because the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to bring conviction into our lives and bring change to our lives. And so what part do we play? Because we play a part. Remember what I said? There is no such thing as passive Christianity. We have a part to play. Paul says that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Not to earn our salvation, not to work towards our salvation, but to work out our own salvation. And but by doing so, what we are doing is we're recognizing God at work in our lives. You see, firstly, the Holy Spirit brings conviction to our lives. You know, you're in that situation and you have those alarm bells going off. Those red flags are popping up. You've got that niggling voice saying, you shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be reading this. You shouldn't be watching this. You shouldn't be in this conversation. The Holy Spirit pricks our conscience and we are convicted. And this is our part. We are convicted, but then it's our responsibility to do something. This is us working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, recognizing God at work and then doing something about it. Whether that is stopping doing something we know we shouldn't be doing, or starting something we know we should be doing. But we have to respond to that conviction of the Holy Spirit. Not only does the Spirit of God who lives and dwells in us bring conviction, he also teaches us. We read that the Spirit is our helper, but he is also our teacher. Cast your minds back to when you first ever read the Bible or you first picked it up and you weren't born again, you weren't saved. How much of it made sense? Nothing made sense. I mean, maybe you're reading Leviticus right now, it still doesn't make sense. But when we are filled with the Spirit of God, it brings us an understanding. It brings us a revelation. The dots begin to line up and we see how God is at work in the whole book. And so the Spirit of God teaches us. But again, when you're taught something, the responsibility then lies on the one who's learned something. So the Word of God teaches us, we learn something, but we have to do something with it. Jesus speaking of the Spirit in relation to this says, he, the Spirit of truth, has come. He will guide you into all truth. And James already quoted from John 17 already, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So God, the Holy Spirit, uses the word of God to bring about change in our lives. The word of God is key. And what that means for you and me is this. We need to give space in our lives for God to work. We need to make space in our lives to get alone and to pray and to worship and to read the word of God. It should be a non-negotiable for every believer who wants to be sanctified to get into the word of God, to pray, to worship him. Whether that be morning, noon, or night, we need to set aside time to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Otherwise, our lives just become about self and what we can do for ourselves. We need to invest time if we are wanting to grow. And so as we come to the end this morning, there's a question I want to ask. And again, please do be honest. Can you raise your hand this morning if you are a perfect Christian? Raise your hand this morning if you've made it. You're fully complete. You're fully there. I think it's important for us to remember there's always more room to grow, right? There are always areas in which we need to change. And I was reading this week about a doctrine, a teaching that was prevalent and some people still hold to it, and it's heresy. So I'll say that up front. The doctrine of perfection or perfectionism. And this idea that on this earth, you can, as a Christian, you can attain perfection. But you know how they go about this doctrine? What they do is they lower the standard of perfection. And so suddenly it's easier to become perfect. But really, you're not being perfect, are you? Anyway, a side note. It bothered me when I read it. We are not there yet. We are not yet there yet. And that is okay. It is okay that someone else in this room is further along the journey than you are. It's okay if you're at the start of the journey. It's also okay if you've not started the journey yet, but you must be born again of the Spirit. You must give your life into Jesus' hands. Paul, the apostle, this man whom we look to, who knew so much of this, he knew that it was a struggle. He knew that it was a battle. In Romans chapter 7, we really see how Paul is fighting against this battle within himself. He says, I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. Maybe you can relate to this. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Who can relate to that? But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. We still have this sinful nature that constantly needs to be put to death. There's this battle that's raging within every single one of us, day in and day out. And it's a battle that we should be taking part in. Because it's a choice. Paul says this in Romans 8:6. He says, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. Letting those desires, those temptations, those pulls back into the world, that leads to death if we give control over to our sinful nature. Here's the good news. Letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So we have a choice, don't we? Are we going to let the sinful nature control us or the Spirit of God control us? And it's a war that we need to be mindful of, and in some respects we can have control over because we can have the mind of Christ. And we can set our mind on the things that are above. You see, God wants to grow you. He wants to work in you. He wants to remove you from you so that people can see Jesus shine through you. His sanctifying grace is constantly at work in us. I've got three final takeaways to give you this morning. about this sanctifying grace. Number one is this, and some of you aren't going to like this. In fact, probably no one likes this. We need to be patient. We need to be patient in this process. Throughout the Psalms, we constantly read that we are to wait on the Lord. This morning, be still. Know that I am God. Go back to that picture of a baby growing. The baby's born, and it's still a baby. And it takes years to develop, years to grow, years until you start seeing the baby's character develop and its personality flourish. It takes years, and there are changes that are gradual throughout this process. They are gradually taking place. It's a lifelong process that cannot be rushed. So you be patient. If you're not where you want to be, then just submit to God and surrender to Him. And He will lead you and He will teach you. Consider it this way. You have your final destination. You have your journey. You don't want to skip the journey. That's where you do your learning. It's not about where you finally make it. It's about the process along the way. Secondly, we need to know that God can use anything and everything and anyone to teach us how to be more like Jesus. Any situation with any person can be used by God to teach us how to be more like Jesus. I heard this picture yesterday, and I like it because I'm a science teacher and I can see it in my head. But hopefully you can see it too. If you have a beaker of water, and at the bottom of the beaker of water, you have sand and small pieces of stone. After a period of time, the water and the sand and the stone separate, and the water looks clear. It looks clean. It looks good. It looks like you're okay. What happens when your life gets shaken up a bit? What happens when it gets stirred up, when something happens? All of that dirt mixes in with the water and suddenly it looks cloudy, it looks murky, and you realize you're not quite as good as you thought you were. God uses those moments in our lives to show us what needs to change. He shows us the moments where we're stirred up, where we're in trouble, where we're hurting, where we're in pain, where we're lacking. And He uses those moments to show us what we need to change. God can use church to bring sanctification. As we worship with one another, as we pray together and with one another, as we hear the word of God taught faithfully on a Sunday morning, God will sanctify us, He will change us. As we have fellowship with one another, He will change us. So to be with the body, that's part of the process of being sanctified. Secondly, you've got this idea of relationships. God will use your relationships to make you more like Jesus. You are an imperfect person, and you are in imperfect relationships with imperfect people. That's a lot of imperfections. But God will use your relationships to bring things to the surface in you, maybe anger, frustration, rebellion, just sinfulness. And then by the Spirit bringing that to the forefront, you can hand it to God and He will change you. So God uses your relationships, whether that is your relationships with your parents, your children, your wife, your husband, your colleagues at work, whatever it might be, He uses our relationships. And the biggest one which we don't like, God uses our difficulties. He uses our grief. He uses our pain and our sorrow and our mourning to bring to the surface things within us which need to be changed. And we hand them to Him. The third and final takeaway this morning is this. We need to be confident of God's role in this process. Please do not go away thinking that I need to do lots of extra homework to be holy. All you need to do is surrender completely to God and allow the Spirit of God through the Word of God to minister to you. Paul says this, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it was finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. He's certain, I am certain, that God is going to carry on the work in me, in you, that He has already started. We are saved by grace, but His sanctifying grace continues to work in us, to bring Jesus out of us, that people would see Him as the light. People would see Him as the way and the truth, as we point people to him. What we need to do, just as we embarked upon a lifestyle of worship last Sunday, we need to embark upon a lifestyle of sanctification by surrendering ourselves to Jesus and allowing his grace to work in us. And it is hard. It is difficult. No one likes it. Consider the song we sung this morning about the refining fire. When you think of metal being refined in a fire, the temperature's up. The dross, the impurity is removed, and it happens again and again and again until purity is reached. It's a lifelong process, but it's a glorious process as we see God's grace at work. Amen. Father, we thank you that you are truly at work in our lives, and that work is not done here on earth, but Lord, you will continue to do more. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would just give up, surrender, put to death any idols in our lives of self and of comfort, that God, you would be the first and foremost priority in our lives. Lord, we could continue this process of change within us. And we know, God, it's all for your glory, your praise, and your honor. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Andy. Thou, lots of things to consider there. And he's speaking about things being shook up. You can be shook up by a message like this and maybe go away thinking, well, I need to do loads more now. I need to be really, really good and everything else. And I get it. But if you consider someone like the Apostle Paul, he's very aware of his sin. He's very aware of what he'd done. He persecuted the church. We know all of this. And he goes on and he follows after Christ. Okay? Everyone knows his mission. He's feisty. He's a hothead. I'm going to plant churches. I'm going to be sanctified through the work that I'm doing for Christ. And one of the processes of his sanctification is being part of a church, actually. He was thrown out of church. He was excommunicated at one point, left on his own to face judges. But the thing that really held him together was the fact that he was in Christ. So when Andy said, is anyone here perfect? I put my hand up and I'm the annoying guy at the back. Why? Because I'm in Christ. And with Christ, all things are possible. When you read in your Bible, when it says all things are possible in Christ, for those who are in Christ, that means you've been saved by Christ. Amen? Now, Lord Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, he says, therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So I agree with Brother Andy about this perfection nonsense. But we go back to the passage at the beginning. And such were some of you. Yes, we are born again and it's a process. But once we are in Christ Jesus, you're done, you're saved, I get it. But then there's this working out. We have to work ourselves out of ourselves. We're saved. This is fantastic. But you don't sit back and go, well, that's it now. You say, okay, Lord, what will you have me do? Exactly what the Apostle Paul said. What will you have me do? What do you want me to do? And wonderfully, he's laid out his word. This is what I will have you do. But the first thing is always, you have to come to me. I'm the king. I give the orders. You're the soldiers. You carry them out. Amen? So just remember, such were some of you. You're saved by grace through faith, but there's a work to be done. And the Apostle Paul is the first said, not that I've already attained or am perfected, but one thing I do, he says, is I press on. I just press on. Anything happens, I brush the dust off. That was what I was yesterday. I'm moving on forward in Christ. I brush the dust off, as Christ said, and just move on. Stand up, get up, move on, because there's work to be done. Amen? In every one of us. So, Father, we thank you for this word. And Lord, as we reflect right now on that message, a message about our sanctification, Lord, where we have to lay everything at the foot of the cross and examine ourselves, see where we are, Lord. Lord, as we contemplate taking communion, meaning that we are in communion, in fellowship with you. Lord, if there's anyone here who needs to put anything down, to surrender something completely, Lord, will you stir the hearts, Lord, that they may, even this day, begin a process or a next step in their sanctification. And Lord, we know that you will complete the work that you started. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So just think on these things. As I'm going to ask Brother David.